because what you say and what you do is supposed to be a reflection of who you are. You are defined by what you believe.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearsons leads a study into God's Word that will define who we are in Christ, understand the true meaning of walking by faith, and trusting God to meet your every need.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am your host, Jeremy Pearsons, and I am grateful and thankful and honored to be sitting here with you today. Once again, my grandfather called a week or so ago and just said, Jeremy, I need you to do some broadcasts for me. He's out of town while we tape these, and I'm just honored to be here. This is a thrill ride for me. And I'm thankful not only that he called, but thankful that you're watching, thankful that you're listening. And we're gonna continue our study today. And I'm stirred in my heart about some of these things we're studying. We're studying the foundations of faith. And I know you've heard about faith. I know you've heard a lot about faith. But can you hear enough? Can you hear too much? No, you can't. We need to be hearing about this. We need to be talking about this all the time. Get in a church where you're hearing this stuff. Listen to CDs. Download messages. Just plug it in your ears and in your eyes all the time. We need to be hearing good, solid messages about our faith, because this is our connection to God Himself. And of course, you know, without this faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe. You must believe that He is, and you must believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You know, as far as this walk of faith is concerned, there is not a whole lot that God requires of us. But this one thing He does, you must believe. Now, you want to know what you believe? Go ahead and look around you. What's coming out of your life? Listen to the words you're saying. Look at the things that you're doing. What do you believe? And when I sit down to confess this word, when I sit down to read this word, and I listen to what's coming out of me, that is a demonstration of nothing other than who I am and what I believe. And if you weren't with us yesterday, I want to encourage you to go back and get that broadcast. You can get it from our website, kcm.org. You can download it. Listen to it. You need to get an understanding of who you are. You need to have an understanding, working knowledge of the definition of who you are. You are defined by what you believe. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pressure with that statement falls off of us. The only thing that's left for me to do is believe. The only thing that is left for me to walk out in this life is what I believe. Now, there's a lot that comes out of that. And if the Lord leads us in this direction, next week we are going to get into how to apply our faith, how to live in a daily application of what we believe. But I'm telling you something, and you need to hear me, that your confession of faith should be nothing more than a reflection and a demonstration of who you are and what you believe. We get consumed and obsessed sometimes with saying the right thing. And if all you're doing is paying attention to what you say and you feel like you missed it and you drop the ball and you get down on you and you feel like you're only as good as the last positive confession you made, just stop it. Get down here on the inside. And if something needs to change about what you say, then look a little deeper and find out what you believe. Because what you say and what you do is supposed to be a reflection of who you are. You are defined by what you believe. I want to read a quote to you, and I've made mention of it on this broadcast before, a month or so ago, as a matter of fact, when I was here with my grandfather, but I want to read something to you. This is a quote from John G. Lake, who lived and ministered in the early 1900s, and I want to read something to you that he said that has really grabbed my attention. This is out of a message he preached. He said, "A low standard of Christianity is responsible for all the shame and sin and wickedness in the world. Many Christians think it is all right to pattern after Jesus in a sort of way. They imitate him and they do the things he did. That is, they outwardly do them. They perform kind acts and they do other things which Jesus did. But the secret of Christianity is not doing." I want you to hear that. The secret of Christianity is not doing. The secret is being. Real Christianity is in being a possessor of the nature of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is being Christ in character, Christ in demonstration, Christ in agency of transmission. When one gives himself to the Lord and becomes a child of God, a Christian, he is a Christ man. All that he does and all that he says from that time on should be the will and the words and the doings of Jesus, just as absolutely, just as entirely as he spoke and did the will of the Father. The secret of Christianity, notice this, is not in doing, it is in being. That's the secret. You're not defined by what you do. You're defined by who you are. And who are you? You are a person of faith. Just faith? Faith in what? Faith in who? Nothing. Then you're not a person of faith. But when you place faith, faith becomes alive. Faith is active and operating when it is placed in someone or something. Faith in your life, faith for the goodness of God, comes as a result of faith in a good God. Can you see that? Faith for increase in life comes as a result of faith in an increasing God. Faith in a good God. Faith for mercy comes from faith in a merciful God. You can't separate these things. And we've seen it in the Word over and over and over. And as a practice, what we are doing when we hear and see this word, F-A-I-T-H, faith, we are making it a complete thought. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that do? It takes the attention off of us and puts the focus on Him. And you may be saying, well, Jeremy, I thought Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood and others, your faith has made you whole. He did say that. Your faith in who? Your faith in what? In Jesus. That woman, we'll probably look at this in next week's broadcast, but that woman with the issue of blood, you look at what happened in her life in Mark chapter 5. She heard about Jesus. And as a result of what she heard, she said, and when she was saying, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I will be made well, she did something. She got out there and she dug and pushed through that crowd. She fell on her knees. She grabbed the hem of that garment and she was made whole. Now that saying and that doing and that all, everything she did came as a result of what she believed. What she believed. And we find here in Hebrews chapter 11, we've read this already this week and you've heard it before. In verse 6, we find that it, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is not going to happen. Without faith, we are not going to be pleasing to Him. What is faith? For he who comes to God must believe. Do you want to know what requirement is on your part? Do you want to know what God is waiting for from you and I? It's not a big, long laundry list of good works. It's not you and I trying real hard to do something. He's waiting on faith. He's waiting on somebody to say, I believe you. And when Paul wrote to church after church and church after church, he said, I heard about your faith. I heard about the way you trust Jesus. I heard about the way you have put faith in him and you are trusting him now. And it's beginning to spread. This kind of faith is contagious. In Romans chapter 1, he said, your faith is heard of around the world. You've been given a platform. And if people are going to talk about you, let them talk about your faith. Let them talk about your trust. And over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who started it. He's the one who finished it. Can we have faith for something without first having faith in Him? Can those two be separated? Can those two be pulled apart? Can you have faith for the healing of your body without believing and having faith in the healer? No. No, you can't. And what has happened over and over and over is you have someone sitting in a congregation where they hear a man or woman of God preaching about the confession of your mouth, preaching about the healing power of God. And what happens as a result, they hear, okay, if I do that, if I do that, if I do that, and they run home and do and do and do and do. And the next day they don't see results and they say, well, it must not work. What they've done, And what they've not recognized is that revelation coming from that man or woman preaching the word, or just the revelation of seeing it in the word of God. When you try to separate that and you just try to make it something you do, here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to separate the revelation from the revealer. Now, the person standing on that platform or sitting there with you explaining these things to you, and you hear it and see it in them, and it's big and they're full of life, just like I'm sitting here talking to you now and I can't sit still. Man, this stuff is revelation in me. It's become who I am. It's become what I do. I don't need somebody anymore to preach to me. Now, Jeremy, if symptoms attack your body, this is what you need to do. Hey, I'm there, man. I know it. I believe it. And I've seen it over and over and over. And when you try to separate the revelation from the revealer, then you get nothing but heartache and disappointment. But that revelation of the words of your mouth being lined up with the word of God, that revelation that you are destined to be healed and whole because it is the will of God for your life, you cannot separate that from the revealer. He's a healing God, and the revelation is He wants you well. He is a good, good God, and the revelation is He wants goodness in your life. See how this revelation goes hand in hand with the revealer. And if you're trying to have faith for something, faith for increase, faith for healing, faith for prosperity, without a firm foundation in a healing God, in a healing Jesus, in the complete work, the healing power of God that's already done, you can't undo that. You can't. It belongs to you. Now this, man, I wish there were better words, and I have to trust the Lord for these words. Turn to John chapter 10, and I think you'll begin to see it when we talk about it in this light. John chapter 10. This already belongs to you. How does it belong to you? Through faith in Jesus. What belongs to you? The goodness of God, the healing power of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try hard to give it, to get it. You know what qualifies you for it? Believing. And believing is something you can do, but before that, it is something you are. And sitting right there, wherever you are listening to this, if you're in your home or at your office or in your car, just say it right now. Let it come out of you. I am a believer. And the completed work of Jesus, everything He did on the cross, everything He did in hell, and everything that came as a result of His resurrection is available to you and for you. John chapter 10, Jesus makes this comment in verse 10. He says, the thief does not come except to steal. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? A thief steals. If he doesn't steal, he's not a thief. If you don't steal things, you're not a thief. Okay? The thief comes to steal. But Jesus said, I came that you would have life. Now, the only way I know to describe this just yet is painting a picture like this. You can't go to my bank account today and steal millions of dollars. Why? because it's not there. I don't have that. You can't steal what I don't have, okay? You can't rob from me something that doesn't belong to me. You can't steal the luxury cars parked in my garage because they're not there. I don't have those, all right? You can't steal it from me. You can't steal, you can't rob from somebody something they don't have. But yet Jesus said the thief comes to steal. He's coming, he comes, his purpose, as revealed in Mark chapter 4, he comes to steal the word. He comes to rob you of what you already have. If you didn't have it, he couldn't steal it. If you didn't have it, if it didn't belong to you, he couldn't rob you of it. But you know what? It does belong to you. You do have it. And Jesus, this is like the best military intelligence you could ever hope to have. He's saying, listen, here's the plan of the enemy. Here's the attack. It's all spelled out right here. There's no guesswork in this. He's a thief. He comes to steal. So don't let him. Don't let him. Don't let him have it. Don't lay down and let him take it. It belongs to you. And that's where this good fight of faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. That's where this good fight comes in. And I don't know if you've ever been robbed of anything, but there's this feeling. It's just like this indignant feeling that comes over you. Like I got robbed. You took my stuff? I remember a year ago at Southwest Believers Convention doing these youth meetings. We had thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment sitting in our backstage area. And one morning, about midweek, a buddy of mine calls. He's actually the guy who coordinates our services. And he said, hey, Jeremy, this is about 6 o'clock in the morning. He called me at the hotel and said, Jeremy, do you have my laptop? I said, no. His laptop had been stolen, along with big screen TVs, along with thousands of dollars in tools and equipment. Somebody had snuck in to that venue and at night loaded a bunch of our stuff up on one of our rolling crates and rolled it away. We got robbed. And I sat there thinking, that's my stuff, man. How can you take my stuff? Get your hands off my, that's mine. We got robbed? Are you kidding me? What is this, a TV show? Is this some sort of movie? No, this was real life. And this is indignant feeling comes over you like, who took my stuff? Now, thank God with our security department and the Fort Worth Police Department, they found it. It was just moved to another place in the venue, and this guy was hiding stuff, waiting for a more opportune time to get it out of the building. And when we found it, we're like, yeah, give us our stuff back. That's our stuff. And you don't, when you hear about it, you don't just lay down. And if you're a fool, you lay there and say, well, must have been the will of the Lord. No, it's not. He's not the thief. He didn't come to take anything from you. He came to give it to you. The thief is the one who came to steal. Jesus is the one who came to give. So don't let it be stolen. What I'm trying to say to you is it belongs to you. The goodness of the Lord, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, it belongs to you. Stop trying to get what you've already got. Wipe the sweat off your brow and sit there for a moment. And if you got to sit in silence just to take the pressure off of you and start looking at Jesus, do what you've got to do to get your eyes off of you and onto Jesus. The scripture in Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who is the author? He is. Who's the finisher? He is. Now, if he started it and he finished it, do you think it's his will just to leave you alone through the middle of it? No. He's the beginner of your faith. And this faith in the Lord Jesus, what does the Bible call it? He calls it a walk. It is the walk of faith. Now, when you get home at night from work, or you pull in your garage from wherever you've been, and you get out of your car, and you're tired and you're ready to be inside and you're ready to get your shoes off and just plop down on that couch or in that bed, what are you going to have to do between the car and the living room, or the car and the bedroom. You want to be in there with everything you've got. You're tired, you're worn out, you're ready to be in, but something's got to happen between the garage or the car, or the driveway, and the house. Something's got to happen. What is it? Walk. You have got to walk. There is no other way. I don't care how much you want it. I don't care how much you think you need it. You are going to have to walk from here to there. And you can't get frustrated because you're not there right now. You can't get mad because you're not there right now. God, don't you know how tired I am? God, don't you know how much I need it? If you're tired and you need it, then start walking. And this walk of faith is just like that walk. You are going to have to take one step at a time. Now, for you and I to say, well, I just don't have faith for that. I just, my faith isn't there. Now, go ahead and make that a complete statement. Go ahead and take that to the foundation of faith and find out what you're saying. I just don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for that. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ just isn't there yet. And I, over the last few weeks, I have determined, I will never say that again, I can believe God for anything. Anything. But one thing I'm going to have to know, and you're going to have to know and realize, that no matter what I'm believing God for, no matter what I'm believing in Him for, that it's a walk. I am going to have to walk from here to wherever there is. And I'm not allowed to get frustrated. I'm not going to get discouraged. I am going to take one step at a time. And I don't care what kind of super Christian you think you are. You cannot take more than one step at a time. You go out for a walk around your neighborhood. You cannot take more than one step at a time. Now, you can take a really big step, but it's still just one step. And this walk of faith is exactly the same way. You take one step at a time, and you recognize that the step you just took is nothing more than foundation for the step you're about to take. Don't get discouraged. Don't get upset. Let faith and patience have its perfect work in you. I'm out of time, but stick around. I'll be back in just a moment.
Does God have a plan for me?
What am I supposed to do with my life?
Now what do I do?
What are your life questions? Discover God's plan for your life and stay on course with it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries introduces Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, an exciting new curriculum that will help you discover step-by-step God's plan for your life, based on the New York Times best-selling book, God's Master Plan for Your Life by Gloria Copeland. This personal, in-depth Bible study includes a 5-disc DVD video teaching with Gloria, a 5-CD set of the entire teaching, and a one-of-a-kind interactive workbook and journal. Learn practical ways to apply biblical truths that bring answers to your life questions. Connect with God's plan for your life in a deeper way and make your destiny a reality. Order Gloria Copeland's new video curriculum at a special price of $49.95, a 40% savings for the entire curriculum package. Visit kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life. Video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal. A comprehensive study tool will take you into a total immersion experience in God's Word. Order your personal set today.
The book of Proverbs chapter 4 says, "My son, attend to my words." He goes on to say, "Keep them in front of your eyes. Keep them in your heart. Keep them coming in your ears." He says, "My words are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh." So in this word is life, and in this word is health, but it's not your life until you find it. It's not your health until you find it. And all this week, We are talking to you about connecting with God's master plan for your life. And that is how you find the Word. That is how you find life. That is how you find health. And I thank God that my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, has spent her life studying these things and is ready to share them with you. This is how you plug in. This is how you get the help you need. That same chapter in the book of Proverbs says, the path of the just is like the shining sun. It grows brighter and brighter. This is how you get on that path and stay on that path. If you're serious about making some changes, getting connected to God's plan for your life, get a hold of one of these and share it with your family, share it with your friends, and plug into this stuff, man. We wouldn't have it on here if we didn't believe that it would bring change in your life. I want to thank you once again for being here today. And if you've not joined us yet this week, go back and listen to these broadcasts. We're building on something here, and we're going to end strong this week. Don't forget, our Great Lakes Believers Convention is still going on right now. If you're in the area of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, get in there, all right? It's going on through the end of the week, Saturday evening, August 23rd. You can be a part of these services. If you haven't been and you can't be, jump online. Thank God for what He's doing there through that ministry. Listen every day and listen to these speakers. Get plugged into what's going on there. You can do that through our website, kcm.org. We've also got super kids at these conventions for ages 6 through 12. Get your young people in this convention. It is just as important for them to be there as it is for you. Thank you so much for being with me today. Let me encourage you to stay plugged into these broadcasts, all right? Go back, listen again, re-listen. Lord's building something here. He's been good to us. We're walking in revelation. We're walking in light, and it's going to be good. I thank you so much for being here, and thank you once again, Mimi and Papa, for letting me do this. It's been good. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you once again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
When you begin to hear about Jesus, it is designed to do one thing, stir your faith. Faith in who? Faith in Him. Faith for what? Faith for what He's done. Faith in what He's already accomplished. Faith in Jesus.